Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Again, our guest today is Philip Tyrone. He's a president of Mortgage Equity Group, author of Seven Steps to a 720 Credit Score, produced by Nightingale Conant. Philip, welcome back.
Bruce, it's great to be here.
I thought we'd pick up this segment by talking about Fannie and Freddie. They're, you know, as we discuss, pretty much the lending game outside of FHA and a little VA. And maybe at the beginning of the second quarter of 2010, the Fed might not be the mortgage-backed security arm. It may go to the private sector again. I just wonder if that happens. What do you think might happen to the ability for them to fund, first of all, and also the rate that might the rate change that might happen?
I think it would be an absolute disaster that would lock up and seize up the entire industry. I mean, and we can see the. I mean, I don't mean.
Thanks for
sugarcoating it. Down on it. Am I clear on my position?
I think so. Maybe they should extend it, huh?
Well, I mean, here this just feeds the problem. Like, the problem is they go from, you know, basically buying next to nothing to $800 billion in a year, because what they need to do is they need to prop up the economy, right?
Yeah.
And basically it's I mean, there's going to reach a time where they cannot just continually buy, I would imagine.
Well, you know, that's an interesting statement. If there's no replacement, you'd have to think, okay, I guess we'll keep on going. At one point or another, you hope there's a fix and there'll be another source of money. But I don't know that April would be the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think way too premature. And I mean, so say let's just say so if they did that, I mean, I just can't even. People are right now mentally. I mean, literally, I'm talking to a guy right now who's we're doing a refinance for. And he's like, I am not going to refinance unless I get under, this is a, you know, he has a high value loan, so it's 720 or something like that. I'm not going to refinance unless I get under 5%.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, rates are like historically the lowest they've been in like 50 or 60 years. I mean, this is unbelievable. And he's like, oh no, I'm not going to do it. And my point is that mentally, people think I'm there, that this is normal.
You know, you've really raised a good point. So you think there would be a significant mental impact with something that said six?
Oh, it would be. It would be. I mean, six would be. Yes, I mean, there would be a shift. But I do think, you know, six is not high, so high that it would be. Much of an impact.
It wouldn't really prevent people from qualifying, but mentally, would they do the, I'll just wait till the rates come down again type thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, actually. I don't know exactly, but my gut instinct tells me that some of them are going to think it goes down unless it's very clear in the media that they're not going to be buying any more paper. But, you know, what if it goes higher than that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, what if, so if the government's out of the game and you go to Bank of America, who still has all these homes, and they're going to have to portfolio these loans or whatever, whoever's going to be this new lender. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be higher than that. I mean, it could be significant.
That would be, well, if it changed dramatically very quickly, I think that would be very harmful at this point, because this is I know we don't have a sufficient pile of buyers, because we still keep paying people $8,000 to buy a house.
Right.
That's how you know there's not enough buyers.
Yes.
Now, do you think that's been? Well, of course, your clientele is a little bit different, but in general, in speaking to realtors, that's been a very big impact on the volume of homes that are being sold.
Oh, definitely. People know that's the case, and they're taking advantage of that.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, Bruce, I want to go back to one thing though.
Okay.
You know, with an increase for an increase of 1% in rate.
Okay.
If you do the numbers, you back into it, it lowers the buying power by 15%.
Wow. Okay.
So, I mean, that's so going from, you know, 4.75 to 6, that's significant in not just a mental standpoint, but just literally a qualifying standpoint, especially what we talked about in the last show, when you have, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac saying, hey, we're maxing out the back-end ratios at 45%. Like, this is critical, and what they're trying to do is they're just trying to, you know, the government, how do we, you know, stimulate the housing market and create this false sense of security, basically, and how they're doing that is just, you know, keeping these rates really low by Fannie and Freddie, or the government buying, you know, whatever they bought last year, $800 billion in mortgages.
Would you say the back-end ratio is preventing more loans than the front-end?
Definitely. Because the thing is, the front end, the back end ratio, the front end is sort of like a point of interest.
Okay.
Where the back end is the deal killer, deal breaker.
Okay. Because I mean, with interest rates where they're at, the front end, and we're talking about just the ratio of a mortgage payment, and is that PITI to the person's income?
Yeah. It's basically mortgage payment PITI to the person's income versus all other debt.
Okay. So in our county, for instance, Riverside, the payment often doesn't exceed rent.
Yeah.
So you'd have to think that they would have a pretty comfortable time qualifying for the upfront. But then they have two car payments and some credit cards.
Oh, definitely.
That's the end of their qualification ability.
That's the problem. You got to drive a nice car.
and unfortunately, they usually already own it. So that's not something they can change overnight.
Exactly. I mean, it's just that's the frustrating part, is because you can't change it, and you end up, you know, losing this buyer.
Okay. Now, in the earlier segment, you made in passing, you said something about people being underwater. So let's talk about what percentage of these people that you're seeing would like to, you know, either purchase a new home or refi, and then they find out, okay, I'm upside down, and it's news to them.
You know what? The media has done such a good job in scaring everybody.
Okay, good. They assume they're upside down already.
I mean, that's the problem. I find a lot of people don't make the calls.
Okay.
And they should. Like, you know, because now, I mean, when someone knows they're absolutely underwater, it's one thing. But, you know, they're like, for instance, with FHA in our area, it goes up to 7.29%.
Yes.
I mean, that means you could buy a $750,000 home, but, you know, 3.5%-4% down.
You could probably buy a $2 million fourplex, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're exactly right. I mean, but the problem is people are so conditioned that you can't get loans. I have people calling me. It's more of the opposite, where people call me and say, what's it take to get a loan now, 30, 40% down? Like, that's the problem. So it's scaring people from coming to the table.
Okay.
Unless they're absolutely pristine. And where you get the pristine people are the, you know, that first-time home buyer or second time, they're moving up and they know they can afford it and they want to get this $8,000 tax credit.
Okay. The term strategic default.
Uh-huh.
I'm just curious. How many people do you see making those decisions where they calculate, okay, this no longer makes sense, so we're just going to stop making the payment and see how long it takes for somebody to...
Oh, I see that all the time. As a matter of fact, on my blog site, I hold these virtual roundtables where I ask people who've gone through certain things, share your story. So instead of hearing the stories from the lenders or the media,
mm-hmm.
we actually know real life stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to a guy yesterday who did just that, and he basically had $150,000 in debt, and he was underwater as a home, $500,000. And he said, I've decided I'm no longer going to pay anything. I'm going to negotiate with all the lenders. Okay? I'm going to negotiate with my lender, my car, my credit cards, my $150,000 credit cards, my first and my second. I'm just going to stop paying.
Okay, without a bankruptcy, he's just going to do it personally, okay.
Yeah, he just stopped paying and realizing that his credit's going to go down and all that stuff. But he called them all and said, I'm willing to negotiate at 15 cents on the dollar, payable over 6 months.
Okay.
And they all like, you can't do that. And specifically what he said, and we're getting this conversation transcribed because it's going to be such great information for people out there. Because what they said is people were saying that's illegal. You know, the lender on his home was saying that we're just threatening him with everything you can imagine. You're going to go to jail. We're going to do this. We're going to do this to you. Do this. And all he was saying is, hey, I'm willing to negotiate at 15% over 6 months. So nothing really happened for 5 or 6 months, and then he started getting some traction. Now, realizing, and he said, you know, ultimately, I don't mind walking away from the house, and ultimately, I don't mind declaring bankruptcy, but I would like to settle 15 cents on the dollar. Ultimately, you know, he ended up settling for 22 cents on the dollar on the credit cards. The second walked away at a discount of 78%. I'm going off memory here.
Okay.
And the first, he's in negotiation with him right now. But what he said was interesting. He said, he's like, it made no logical sense for me to continue to pay, and there was a complete strategic default. But interestingly, he said, everyone I spoke to, and this was at Bank of America, everyone I spoke to for my loan modification and my payments was giving me a different story. He's like, and all I did was just kept going down the road, and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing in those places, so that's why they're making so many errors. So it made me think of all these people out there who are strategically defaulting, and I don't even, you know, and the reality is the news that we're hearing from Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and these banks is, you know, is just, you know, like your new upcoming seminar is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I don't even think they understand what's happening.
Well, I think it's becoming, first of all, it's becoming socially pretty acceptable, which is one
Absolutely.
Of those, which was one of those things that, you know, maybe 2 years ago that would have been a stigma. Now, all of a sudden, you probably have, clubs starting up, you know, stop making your payment. And I've actually heard comments from college campuses where they're actually telling people that's perfectly fine.
Hmm.
So, yeah
that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Yeah, that does start to be a problem because right now we might be dealing with 11% people delinquent. But if we start treating those people too well, that becomes part of a bigger problem, I think. So,
well, Bruce, I mean, here's the the fundamental problem is, why is it that the people behind on their mortgages get the red carpet treatment?
Well, because they're only 11% of the group. If you said to the other 89%, guess what, guys? We're just going to reduce your principal, even though you're current.
You're told, yeah. Right.
Yeah, well,
I know. I mean, I understand fundamentally what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're right. That makes no logical sense.
Right. That's why they're doing it. But, we are rewarding the people that, in fact, are not coming through with what they had said they would do.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's this anger associated with these banks and these credit card companies, and it doesn't help when they're getting these multi-million dollar bonuses. And that's what I hear from the people when they comment on our blog, when they call up for our teleseminars. I mean, I hear an anger around there, and that's their reasoning for the strategic default.
It's almost fine. You've done this to me. I'm going to get back to you.
Yeah.
And you know, I can understand some of that. I think the problem, you know, you start looking at the bigger picture, is that debt doesn't necessarily just go away. It becomes a collective debt that the rest of society gets to bear, and the future generation does as well. You know, it becomes a big pile of debts at some point.
Oh, and I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally agree.
It doesn't
help. One quick thing, Bruce. It doesn't help when the rental rates are so low in the same exact neighborhood you're living in.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you own the property. You're paying $3,000 a month. You rent the same property for $1,750.
Sure. You can say, we can save 40% of our house bill by just not paying.
Without any upkeep.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is the lenders certainly are not being aggressive in foreclosing.
No, so, definitely not. Yeah.
We haven't had a chance to talk, but there was a situation we were familiar with where somebody hadn't made their payment for 2 years and they didn't end up working out some loan modification agreement. So property went to sale. And it's my understanding that the person originally bought the home for $400,000, refinanced the house for $800,000, so actually pulled out $400,000, and only owned it for 4 years. So that's a $100,000 job, basically. It tax-free this because the way it happens to be that we have the rules. They sat there for 2 years, didn't make a payment. Then the foreclosure was held. The lender opened the bid at $400,000, half of what they were owed. No one bid. So now you think, okay, well, that's an REO. No. The lender then canceled the trustee sale and called back the owners and said, let's make a deal.
Oh, my God.
So these people who haven't made a payment for 2 years had all the back debt forgiven and had a $400,000 principal loan balance, a $400,000 reduction, and a 2% interest.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So when you start hearing stories like that, I mean, you can imagine living next door to that person and going, you got to be kidding me. I now want to sign up for one of those.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and that's another thing. I asked that question on our blog. Who do you know who's living in your home without paying payments?
Yeah.
And we got a lot of comments. I mean, just comments about, hey, I know, oh, my next door neighbor is a year and a half. Oh, my friend's 11 months. Oh, I've been making my payments for 6 months and I haven't gotten contacted by the lender. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, like you said, it is becoming so socially acceptable. And it's just, would you treat your kids this way?
Mm.
Like, that's the way I look at it. Like, now that I'm a father, right? I have a 3-year-old, 21-month-old, and a 5-month-old. And I look at it and say, what do I want to instill into these kids so that when they grow up, I know they're going to do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And I would not want to, I mean, what scares me is what these people are being taught for the next time.
I think that's a point that's not really being discussed. And I think the system itself has sure got a lot of blame on their back. I really do. But one thing that's a problem is rewarding that. If the person loses a home, then the lesson probably is entrenched in them. I'm not going to over borrow again.
Right.
But when you end up getting rewarded for it and then completely sort of bailed out, what happens next time is it seems like you'll be looking around going, okay, there'll be somebody coming up here to solve this here pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just going, okay, I've got to solve it myself. You know, what's interesting, too, is we really have looked at this real estate bubble popping much different than the stock bubble popping. Because stocks, I mean, we have people in our office what we call day traders for stocks, okay? And they literally lost 90% of their value because of how they also leveraged when they were doing this. They lost 90% of their value inside of 6 months.
Wow.
And they couldn't pick up the phone and go, hey, my stock went down from $100 to $10. Who do I talk to?
Of course not.
Well, but see, that's such an acceptable statement. Of course not. Well, now we haven't treated real estate that way at all.
No. Yeah.
And what's interesting is, and you know, I do sympathize with some of the people that are in foreclosure, but some of the people didn't put anything down at all. So when they say it's my home, you know, really, it wasn't a financial commitment as much as it was your location.
Yeah.
But the lender's the one that's really in the position that they're taking the hit. And some of them, you know what, they deserve to take the hit. I don't have any problem with some of the lenders losing it. But the problem is they're passing the bill on to the collective us. Yeah. What is going on with the high dollar loan? You know, I see that, you know, Fannie Mae has these new programs coming out. It seems like every 2 months that they'll do now a deed in lieu and rent back. So that's a new program for them. If the loan is a jumbo loan, are these lenders doing loan mods that are kind of the same program as Fannie Mae, or is that just an individual decision by the banks at this point?
Absolute individual decision.
Okay.
And there's no rhyme or reason to it. I'm really trying to figure that out.
Okay.
You know, I'm really trying to figure out where's the rhyme or reason. But what I'm realizing in talking to these people who are going through these modifications and the, you know, who are talking to these lenders, it's all a function of having, you know, just not buying into what they're telling you. Because, you know, the banks are not being straight with they're telling different different things. The same exact bank is telling absolute different things to borrowers. So I know that there's got to be something where they're just saying, hey, we got to get, here's our objective, the highest point possible, whatever it takes. And I hate to sound like, you know, like there's some conspiracy out there, but, you know, I don't come across that way. But I do believe that, you know, when it's all about the individual having their story and their what they're willing to do and keep reiterating that over and over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I had an interesting weekend where I spent in Florida. I was on a panel for REOMAC. I was on a panel with a subprime lender and a servicing company and a subprime author and, let's say, an economist. And we were in front of 1,500 realtors, and I asked a question. I wasn't the moderator, but I sort of became that because I realized we weren't going to be asking the right questions.
Yeah.
Because that was politically incorrect. So I asked the lender about a specific trustee sale result. We had a $1.1 million loan go to sale for $300,000, final bid $400,000. So the lender took a $700,000 loss. And my question to him was, when did you have to realize that loss? Because you opened the bid at $300,000,
Yeah. Knowing
the loss had already existed. So what is your understanding about lenders and when they have to acknowledge a loss? Because right now there's huge amounts of delinquencies that are not even in a default process.
Right.
And I wonder if the banks are just allowed to keep the loan amount and the value of that asset the same until what event? You know, do you know anything about that?
You know, from my understanding, and I'm not an expert in this, but I've talked to people who have bought, who are real estate agents and negotiate these short sales and different things with these lenders, and the big, this is what I have heard, is that the banks, where they really get concerned is when they have an REO on their books, their reserve requirement just go through the roof, as opposed to having a before they take the property back. You know, so you can have a loan that's not paying, you know, on time or delinquent or whatever, and the reserve requirements the lender doesn't take the hit for the reserve requirements like they would when it becomes an REO.
Okay.
And that is why they get, you know, if they have an audit coming up, they need to get these things off their books and off it quick. And if they don't have an audit coming up, or they don't see the writing on the wall, they're not as motivated.
Well, if you have an audit coming up, you also don't foreclose on stuff because then it's not on your books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then definitely. Yeah. And that's why we have these problems where these people 15 months, like you said, 2 years without payments.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got about a minute and a half. Philip, why don't you give us your contact information again?
Sure. You know, you can find interesting information on our blog at www.philiptirone.com. You can, for any loan questions from FHA to jumbo, you can call myself, Philip Tyrone, or my partner, Beth Antilla, at 310-453-1901.
Okay. Just in the last minute, how's the credit score now affecting people's rates?
Well, from a credit perspective, your credit score how it's affecting your rates is absolutely critical. I mean, critical. And I mean, literally, this gentleman I'm doing a refinance right now makes over $500,000 a year, an attorney, and he's got a credit score of 685. And the only reason why his credit score 685 doesn't have one late payment because his credit card company is not reporting the proper credit limit to the bureaus.
Wow.
I mean, think about that for a second. That he has that card is impact, or actually, excuse me, he has two credit cards that are not reported to the credit bureaus, okay? And they're two cards for he and his wife, and they're both joint. And that's impacting his credit score somewhere between 40 and 80 points.
Wow. And it's on a very significant, insignificant amount of money.
Oh, no, yeah. It doesn't. I mean, like, he pays the card off every month.
We're out of time here.
Because the credit card company is not reporting the proper information, it's impacting him by 0.25% in rate.
Wow. All right, Philip, thanks so much for joining us. I wish we could continue, but we will another time.
Always a pleasure, Bruce. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.